The remainder of the afternoon is being set aside for a very serious item that we need to discuss based on a proposed constitutional amendment from the last convention in the spring. And for this business, I am going to relinquish the chair and give it back to our lovely president, Donna Pomerantz.
Okay, thank you, everyone. And I have Peter Pardini up here as our treasurer, and I also have Gabe Griffith up here in the front as well, who is chairing our Constitution and Bylaws Committee. So, and Roger, if absolutely, Roger, you should definitely stay. Roger has been on the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and has worked on it at times when our chair has not been able to be here due to illness and obligations. So the item on the table up for discussion is the constitutional amendments that were proposed in the spring. And I would like to have Gabe get a phone. Do you need Rogers or Ed has a wireless for you.
Ed has one. Okay, so
and people are already yawning and we're just starting. Must be Kevin. Okay. So I'm going to give it over to Gabe so that he can, and Roger, you can help me out with the parliamentary stuff because I will ask. We'll have Gabe do a reading. And Roger, my question is, do we do, there are two sections, correct, Gabe?
There are two sections that are being amended or that are being specified here in this proposed amendment, but I'm going to read them as one proposed amendment.
It was our feeling, we talked, Gabe and I talked about this, and it seems to me that we really have one amendment. The intent is to do one thing, and it's just there are two different pieces of language. And so I would propose that we do it all in one swell foop, as they say. And so this is basically what we're doing in the Constitution is coming back to the Constitution Committee report and rereading an amendment that we read at the last convention, which will then allow us to discuss it and vote on it.
Wired.
Now, if while they're doing the mic dance and trading mics, I would encourage everybody, hopefully you all have your badges with the orange dot, so that you can receive a ballot. If and when the time comes that may be needed. Because with our group, anything is possible.
All right, Donna, I've got a mic with a stand okay. So that I don't have to try to do three things with two hands, so I'm ready to read whenever you're ready.
Perfect. So if we could have, if folks could pay attention to Gabe so that we won't have any, okay, go ahead, Gabe.
Okay, hello, everybody. This is my first opportunity to address you since Donna has asked me to chair this committee, so thank you, Donna, for having the confidence in me for this, and thank you, everybody. Hopefully, you can do a good job, and thank you, Roger, for some advice yesterday when we were going over this. What we have here is an amendment that the first reading was done at the spring convention, so this will be the second reading, which will then be able to be opened up for a motion and discussion if that is necessary. It is, as we said, one amendment, but there's going to be three parts that I'll be saying to this. So part one is section 5.1 of Article 1 of the Constitution is amended by striking semi-annually and inserting annually. And just to the way I'll be reading this is I'll say what the amendment would do. I'll read the current language, and then I'll read what the new language would be. So section 5.1 currently reads, section 5.1, there shall be a regularly scheduled meeting of the California Council of the Blind semi-annually, the time and place to be fixed in advance by the president or the convention. It would read, section 5.1, there shall be a regularly scheduled meeting of the California Council of the Blind annually, the time and place to be fixed in advance by the president or the convention. Okay, and now part two is the second and third sentences of section 10.4 of Article 10 of the Constitution are both amended by striking out, quote, fall convention of, end quote, and inserting, quote, convention in, end quote. Section 10.4 currently reads, and I'm just going to read the pertinent part of it, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article, the president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the fall convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the fall convention of each odd-numbered year. That section would read, and again, I'm just going to read the pertinent part of it, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the convention in each even-numbered year. The second vice president, second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the convention in each odd-numbered year. And the third part of this proposed amendment is that these changes would not take effect until the 2014 year. Madam President, that concludes the second reading of this proposed constitutional amendment. And the Constitutional Amendment and Bylaws Committee, since it was just Roger.
I don't know I'm going to do this, but Madam President, I move adoption of this constitutional amendment.
Second.
Okay, we have several seconds.
No, only several seconds.
Okay, so there's been a motion and a second.
Point of order.
And
I have a point of order.
And what I requested is that whoever asks for the floor must give me their name so that I may recognize you by name, please.
Tom Carnes.
Tom Carnes. And I'm hearing that from Bernice that Tom Carnes is a life member of CCCLV. Okay.
I'm also a member of CCCLV.
Yes, you're Yes. And so because we have that, and Roger and Gabe, let me know if I'm out of order, but I feel confident that because we have that direct verification from the president of one of the affiliates as well that Tom is a member of, I'm willing to accept that.
We'll get a dot when Mary Lou comes back in the room.
Okay. And I would say that it really is important, especially when we get in this discussion, and folks are going to chuckle because, you know, normally I'm nicknamed as the Queen of Chaos at times, but I prefer...
I thought that was your twin.
That's my twin. I prefer lots of order here so that everyone can be heard in the proper order. So again, please state your name when you call for the floor. Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion?
Madam President, this is Frank Welty.
Frank Welty?
I think many of you realize my position on this this amendment. I am in favor of it to the extent that I had an article published in the a recent issue of the Blind Californian, which was called "One Convention, 45,000 Reasons in Favor."
And in the I interest am of timing, folks.
In the interest of time, I'm going to limit myself to seven. First of all, this amendment will provide significant savings to the organization. We currently are running a continuous structural deficit in which our annual fundraising does not reach our annual operating expenses. This needs to be resolved. We've already done as much cutting in other areas as we possibly can. We've reduced our staff to one staff member. We have eliminated support for sending members to the ACB Washington National Washington Legislative Seminar, and we have eliminated the position of Government Affairs Director. Clearly, we need to find other opportunities for cuts. The most significant available, what I would consider a redundancy in our current budget is our second convention. Therefore, we need to eliminate that in order to make a significant dent in our structural budget deficit. Second, we will free up staff time. Many of you see how hard Ed Branch works here at the convention. That is only the tip of the iceberg. I can speak as one who observed Ed's hard work for 2 years when I was a staff member of this organization. And the convention takes the working for the conventions and preparations takes a considerable amount of Ed's time throughout the year. Reducing from two conventions to one convention will free up a lot of his time for other very important responsibilities for
30 CCB. Seconds.
Third, the reducing to two convention from one two conventions to one convention will be much more affordable for many members who cannot currently attend conventions. Fourth, we will eliminate a lot of duplicate meetings associated with two conventions instead of having one meeting for one convention. Fifth, the reducing from two conventions to one convention will not harm the organization. Cohesion, because we have many alternative for communications that we did not have many years ago, such as email, phone conferencing, and so forth.
Time.
Thank you.
Bernice Kandarian, do you wish to speak against? Okay. Yes.
On Thursday evening at the board meeting, I asked a question about the fact that it's the figure that's been touted is that this convention is costing $25,000. However, at the last convention in the spring, I listened very carefully to Peter's treasurer's report, which on the one side said that it was $45,000 for the two conventions. I do not remember what the amount was on the income side from fees charged of members who attend conventions. And I wanted to know that information. And the second part is that since certain things have been eliminated, like the free lunches and whatever, has that reduction been reflected in the $25,000 figure? What I'm concerned about is that we don't have the accurate information to base our decisions on.
Well, as far as Peter's pulling up specific numbers, and I've stopped the time on the 20 minutes component because she's speaking for a point of information, and we're not doing official for and against at this point. I'm not sure about the free lunches component because those were actually supposed to be lunches that went to our volunteers. And what I would like is if we could get Jeff. That's okay. Ed's going to go back with you to Mike, because Jeff was president when the lunches began.
I'm going to admit my own bias, so that to be clear, as one of the ones who did propose this initially, so I will admit to being biased.
But I am
just saying that. But speaking to your question, it was the figures that I was able to produce during a number of years. We averaged between $10,000 and $15,000 per convention in terms of the negative figure was $10,000 to $15,000 per convention that we lost per convention.
Wow.
The some years were better than others. The lunches might have cost at the outside $800 or $900. So it was a minor, factor.
Okay. Let me go ahead and... Peter's looking for it. Gene did say that this is related. I think someone had Peter doing maybe something else before, because I knew we were going to... He's juggling documents. So, Gene, Gabe has a mic.
I have.
If Gabe can share that with you. If you can go to Gabe.
Oh, I'm right here, Gene.
Arf.
Here you go. If you...
No. This is related to, again, the lunches. I do know that at least for the last maybe year and possibly 2 years of Jeff's administration, that it was the costs of the lunches were incurred by the telephone pioneers who donated, and there were some other sources. We may have supplemented, but it was primarily in the recent times it was actually donated, and then it came to an end when, for instance, the Sacramento chapter could no longer afford to donate because of fundraising issues they were having. And I know that was, bless you, that the San Diego area telephone pioneers could not generate the money at the La Jolla convention. So, and that's just pointing out the fact that in recent times that has been donated.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, they've had their struggles, and it got bigger and bigger. And it was just difficult for them to manage. And I think Peter found Peter has his figures. Yes. Do you have a mic, or do you want me to give you? Yeah, you do, I think.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, for the spring 2012 convention, we had income in the amount of $15,497 and convention expenses in the amount of $24,559, leaving a difference of expenses were greater than income in the amount of $9,287. For the fall convention, this current convention, with based on pre-registration numbers only, we had income in the amount of $10,538. Expenses, these are just expenses that were incurred prior to when we left for the convention, $12,152. Basically, based on our food and beverage minimum in the amount of $15,000, plus some other related expenses, I expect that we're going to spend an additional $20,000. So basically, it would be for the fall convention, we'd probably have income in the amount of $14,000, and our expenses would be around $32,000.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
And Peter was asking for 2011. While he's finding that, what I will share with you is I had a bit of a shock because I asked Peter to do a lot of number crunching for me the weekend before we came so that we could get figures as close to what was relevant. A figure of $45,000 was published in the Blind Californian, the amount of what it cost for two conventions. After Peter did his number crunching, it was actually more. So Peter, go ahead.
I have the numbers. Expense number. $58,543. This includes basically a portion of our staff support salary, plus the gas and vehicle insurance, a proportion for gas and vehicle insurance, a proportion of board of directors' expenses and insurance, in addition to the normal convention expenses, which include audiovisual, hotel bills, and all printing costs for announcements and the program.
So, Peter, what conventions did that cover?
That covered the two conventions in 2011.
Okay, how much was the income?
Okay, hold on.
The income figure was $31,000 for the two conventions.
Now, Peter, what is that income figure based on?
Based on both all the money that we received from registrations, money, ticket sales, and if we've received any
donations
or sponsorships for the convention.
I guess the question that I would have, because people have asked me, is do people specifically donate toward the convention, or do they donate at the convention for CCB work, scholarship, whatever, general fund?
That income is not included in convention. Good. This would be Basically, it would be if we received any sponsorship monies for the CCB convention. It does not include money that received donations for the scholarship fund or chapter donations for the general fund Good. That we receive at the convention.
Thank you.
This is strictly related to convention income.
Okay. And Bernice, did you have one more question for your point of information?
No, I think
that's it.
That is
okay.
Well,
one more comment. Well, they'll.
But
there.
There. Okay, it's fuzzy.
That's okay.
What I'm concerned about is that those were not the figures that were in the report that was given at the spring convention, and I guess I'd like to see us do a better job of getting more accurate figures.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, which is why I, Peter, can we turn off all cell phones, please? Thank you. That's why Peter and I work together on coming up with different things that need to be included. We're further, it's a work in progress. We're further refining the things so that the reports can be more detailed. So I appreciate what you've stated. Okay. And who is that, please?
Doug Martin.
Doug. Ed's coming with the microphone.
Hello, Doug Martin, San Diego. I have a point of information request with respect to the second of the three portions of the amendment, where it says, for example, the president and other various officers will be elected in the even-numbered years and so forth. Is there or does there need to be any reference to where those even-numbered conventions would be held? For example, it's reasonably obvious to me that if that's the way the amendment is going to put forth, that 2014 would have to be, let's just say, Southern California, 2016 would have to be in Northern California, thus a president can be elected once in each region. That would pretty much require you to have two consecutive conventions in Southern and then two consecutive conventions in Northern. How can that be resolved?
Okay. Can we have silence in the audience? Thank you. On several calls, these were some of the issues that were discussed. We had two calls talking about these things, and what we proposed to do, and Gabe and Roger, and Roger was on one of those calls, please chime in as well. What we proposed to do, unless the membership dictates otherwise, but what we proposed to do is have... Well, let me give it over to Gabe to talk about how they see some of the steps happening. But we will have membership-wide conference calls as well to discuss some of these specificities. But what I will say is if this were to take effect, we would be starting it in 2014, and we already have a signed contract in Sacramento for the spring convention at the Arden West in Sacramento. So it would start there.
That wasn't my question.
I know. I'm just giving information to folks so they'll know when it starts. Gabe, go ahead. Take
okay.
it over.
Okay. And Roger, feel free to chime in here if you have anything too. I don't know if I'm prepared at this time to specifically address your comment about where the elections are held as far as electing presidents or officers or board members in specific regions. What I can say in regards to that is that, yes, there are going to be other ramifications like that that are going to have to be taken into effect. The, as Donna said, this will not be taking effect until 2014. If this passes today, what I will say that we will have the committee do is the committee will definitely be working on first going through the convention or the constitution and bylaws and identifying issues such as this one that will be affected. We're not going to be able to have
developing, implementing, and reconciling of amendments.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to have things like a nominating committee in the spring and a elections in the fall. What we will do, though, is we will go through and figure out these reconciliations, and we will bring a report on those issues back to this convention in spring of 2013.
Well, how I vote on this amendment?
I guess what I might say to answer your question is all of our elections are currently in the fall, so which means all of our elections are always in Southern California. So in a way, to me, this election or this amendment would not really affect that. It would just mean that half of the board is elected in the north and half is elected in the south. If we continue to alternate north and south.
Madam President,
Mr. Pomerantz? Are you seeking information or are you wanting to?
I want to see if I can help Doug out, and I have a.
Okay.
Doug, this will be my 40th year in this organization, so I've seen a lot of elections. And I don't think, or at least I can't recall, the last time for an election as important as president that the locale of the convention affected positively or negatively the outcome of an election. You know, I hear your concern, but I really don't believe that where the convention occurs affects at least the officer positions. You might make a case for a director position, but I don't believe that for an officer position that's really a factor. The question I had for Roger and for Gabe, the two proposed changes for Article 10 refer to convention rather than conference and convention, and I thought we had made that change last year.
We did.
Madam President, may I respond to that?
Yes.
I believe, Mitch, when it was voted to move to saying conference and convention, part of that was that it may just be referred to as conference or convention. Sorry, Roger just pointed out I said the wrong word. It was stated that it may be referred to as convention. So I don't believe that substantially affects this.
Very good. Thank you.
David Hanlon, do you have a question for information? Okay.
What about the nominating committee to present a slate of officers? Are we going to have that kind of situation?
Yes. Those are some of the logistics as well that were discussed. And what would some of the things that have been discussed were selecting a slate of officers at the beginning of the convention and holding elections at the end of convention, the same convention. And that's been the majority of what's been recommended to do. There was, in the interest of you know, bringing everyone's points forward, there was someone who also said, well, you can, you know, do your slate at one convention and then the following year elect from that slate. So someone else also mentioned that too. And we're not saying yes or no to any of them at this point. I'm just telling you what came out on the calls and what members have mentioned to me. Those are the two things. And who is that that seeks the floor? Cindy Aguilar, can you? Okay, Cindy Aguilar from Sacramento chapter, ACB Capital Chapter.
Oh, I thank you.
I know.
What I have a question in is, I mean, if this passes for one conference per year, I really think we need to have something written in our stone contract saying, Constitution, that this conference needs to be rotated maybe throughout the state, not always in the same region, maybe southern, central, northern, eastern, maybe have one in San Francisco, so that we can educate and voice our opinion throughout the entire state of California, because we are a huge state with a lot of information. There's a lot of visually impaired blind people that can't make it to Southern California or can't make it to Northern California, but they can make it when it's in the region.
Okay.
Is that a possibility?
Thank you, Cindy. That was one of the things that was discussed as well. Would we be able to rotate the conference and convention, you know, one in the north, one in central, one in south, and going back to the north, and you know, every 3 years kind of a thing, switching different parts of the state. That was one of the things mentioned. Another thing that was mentioned was, because we are a grassroots consumer advocacy organization, that we should always have the conference and convention at the Capitol in Sacramento, so that everyone attends a Capitol Day, the day before the conference and convention officially starts, because more people would be able to afford to do that in connection with convention. So those are the two things that came out of the two calls and members who have spoken to me directly about things. And again, we're not doing any yes or no's on that. All of that is up for discussion, and assuming this passes, and we will be having calls as well to continue informing you, and as Gabe said, there will be a report at the spring convention of progress. So nothing will be done unless you know about it, I assure that. And who asked for the floor? Okay, Eric Calhoun first, and then there was a gentleman to my left.
Madam President, I just want to say what some of the people have been talking to me about. I got a message from someone who really had some problems, and I'll be talking to Eugene Lozano about this convention, because I have some very major problems with this convention.
Okay, hold on. Focus on the question.
I want to concern myself with this item that's on the agenda now.
Yes.
Okay. I think there's some of the people have expressed the need to have this at a location where everybody can go and where everybody can register and not have numbers fall off. And that was one of the major, major problems that I was talking to someone in the Alameda area, because she told me specifically that she was not going to go to the convention as long as certain things were not in place. And I will leave this person unnamed, because some of you in Alameda know who she is.
Can you get to the point?
My point is, if you have to have one convention a year, exactly when are you going to have it? That's the question, because I think that's the most important thing, so that people can plan and people can get their money's worth.
And I'd like to have, please, thank you. Some of what came out on the call is that people gave reasons for favoring the spring and some positives about having it in the spring. One connected to Capitol Day in the legislature, and people did give reasons for wanting to have it in the fall as well, and some positives with that. So, again, we will meet and we will discuss all of these issues. We will be reporting again some of the issues that, you know, have been discussed, and you will get a report on that in the spring. But both have expressed, you know, there have been pros and cons for doing it in spring and in fall. So that decision has not been made officially yet. There was someone who said the possibility of having it, and I'm just giving an example, having it in the spring of 2014, having it in the fall of 2015, having it in the spring of 2016. So that was also something that someone mentioned. Again, I'm not saying we're doing it. I'm not saying we're not. I'm just letting you know all that was mentioned. Thank you. There was actually a gentleman with a very soft-spoken voice far to my left who called for the floor first. Who is it, please? Larry Friedman.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Larry.
I think the evidence is pretty straightforward.
Well, wait. Hold on. Is this going back to open up the debate?
It's in favor, yes.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. Are there any questions for information, or are we ready to go back to the debate and have someone speak against the amendment? You have a question. Okay. Larry, hold that thought. Pampology?
I just have a question that could be relevant to whether we have one or two conventions, and maybe you can straighten me out here, please. Regarding the meals, does it save any money at all if we were to reduce the meals, say, to having box lunches or sandwich lunches instead of the large meals that we've been having? Or is it just
Can we please not have any yelling from the audience or this table? Thank you. Go ahead, Pam. Continue.
Thank you, Donna. And you guys, forgive me if I'm asking something that you seem to feel is obvious, but it's not to me.
No,
so
every question
is
good.
I'm just trying to learn here. In other words, if we have small lunches or maybe even lighter breakfast, would that be cost effective, or is it a flat rate that they give for meals and it's to our advantage that they are kind enough to give us the large meals that they do? I'm just wondering. Thank you.
Basically, in accordance with our contract, we are limited to a certain amount. Well, we have to use a certain amount in total for food and beverage minimum. We have found that trying to do boxed lunches and things like that cost the same amount of money. We've done direct comparisons and stuff. So it is pretty much still the same amount of money.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Warren was calling for opening back up the debate. I'd like to ask one more time if there are any other questions, and then I'd like to entertain someone speaking against the amendment. Do you, who seeks the floor? Evelyn Drury. Are you? Well, wait. Are you asking a question for information, or are you ready to speak in opposition of the amendment?
I do have a question.
Okay. And go ahead, and if you can stand so Ed can.
I have it now. Okay, I have a question that's connected to a concern, and I'll make it very, very brief. I think we can, many of us understand the need to go to one convention a year. but I feel uncomfortable voting either for or against that until I can get a little bit of assurance, not when the conferences are going to be, but are we going to be able to have one in the south and one in the north and rotate? Because if we can't, then I don't feel that I would be able to vote for it. And the only reason I bring this to your attention is because I feel a lot of other people have the same concern.
Madam President, can
okay,
I, this is Gabe,
so
can I respond
what,
to that?
What I would say is that decision will be voted on by the membership at convention.
We don't have any rule like that now.
It's and actually, custom. Roger, go ahead.
It's just custom. It's not a rule even now.
Yeah. So it's
it says the place of the location of the convention will be determined by the, what does it say, by the president or the convention?
By the president or convention.
By the president or, yeah.
And Madam President?
Yes, Gabe.
Can I add another comment?
Yes.
Gene and I were over here talking. I know I've already said that the Constitution and Bylaws Committee will be looking at this, but Gene has also pointed out that.
Can we please have quiet?
What we'll probably end up doing is having at least a couple of discussions between both the Constitution Bylaws and the Convention Committee, so that because there are going to be several of these issues that need to be brought forth and discussed. So we will make the report in the spring as comprehensive as possible about how this is going to work. But Roger's right, there is no rule.
No, there isn't. But that decision would be voted on by the membership, and it would be my hope in hearing this discussion. It's made me also realize that I hope that the Convention Committee and the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, through their meetings, will come forward with some recommendations so that we can have some of these votes, again, if this amendment were to pass, would have start having some of these votes in spring 2013, because currently I am not able to sign any contracts, it would not be wise, until this decision has been made. But be assured that you will have a vote on that as far as location and rotating goes. So, any other questions, or shall we open up debate? Tuan, do you have a question or debate? Okay. Now, we're going to take this last question because folks need to get into committee, and then we will start up the debate. Tuan.
Good afternoon, everyone. I could add a question, mainly a technical question. Do you know
can we
or have
quiet,
information?
Because I can't hear Tuan. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a technical question. Did you or anyone in this room have information regarding the potential of membership on the geographical location? In other words, I'd like to know if the total membership is spread out throughout the state, or is it concentrated more in the north or in the south? Thank you.
Okay. The geographic location of our membership. It really is, if you divide you know, Artis, you're a membership chair, and Ed sees the database. He probably dreams about it.
Too much.
But if you split the state in half, it really is, what did Jeff say? I thought I heard Jeff. It was somebody else with a deep voice. Because I thought you were giving me, you know, he said so. Do we need to have security escort the immediate past president out of the room? Because you guys know I'll do it.
He said he moved the pre-
He moved.
Which means it's a motion that has to be.
Call for the question. All those. All those in favor of supporting the amendment to move to one convention a year, please. I'm sorry? Not yet. We try a voice vote first. We're voting. Okay. Okay, folks. Roger reminds me that we need to vote to end debate, and we have a motion and a second to end debate. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nope.
Abstentions? Okay, motion carries. We end debate. Now we move for the question. All those in favor of supporting the amendments as proposed by the Constitution and Bylaws Committee to move to one convention per year, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. What I want to say very briefly is this is a very difficult decision. I think that if we had someone that, you know, if all of a sudden we got $2, $3, or $4 million, we would all want to stick with two conventions a year. Roger says what? Roger says, not me, man. Okay. But what I would like to say is we are the CCB family. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, whether we're in the majority, the minority, the issue is we are still a family. And it's going to take each and every one of us to continue to make it work. And this was not a decision that was reached lightly. I'm sure it hurts all of our hearts, but it's what we must do. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being, expressing your opinions. I hope I gave you the opportunity to contact me, and I thank you. And we'll get a door prize, but if you pull Pam Metz's name, put it back in the bucket. Bernice seeks the floor. If we can get a microphone over to Bernice.
It was my understanding that this amendment was put forth by Jeff Tom, and I just want to set the record straight that it didn't come. It has to pass through the Constitution Bylaws Committee, but it wasn't initiated by them.
The Constitution and Bylaws Committee took a no position.
That's correct.
And so, what I will say is a group of people submitted this amendment, led by, if you wish, Jeff Tom. But frankly, it was a group of several people that did a lot of the writing and such. And Jeff did assist.
But what I'm saying, Donna, is that you said it was put forth by the Constitution Bylaws Committee.
No, if I said that, I did not mean to say that. What I said is, brought forth is what I said, meaning they read it. So, you know, they did the reading, but you're correct. It did not come from the Constitution.
Amendments are always brought forth by the Constitution.
Yes, it was brought forth. Okay. So, do we have a door prize? Okay. Okay.
Or if you want to go ahead and make it.
Okay. Door prize. Wind chime from San Bernardino chapter. Oh, let's have Roger pick that one. A wind chime. Teddy Joy Remhild, are you in the room? Yay! All right. Before we adjourn, I was asked to make an announcement on behalf of our treasurer. Peter says that he does still have some banquet tickets. If folks wish to come to purchase a banquet ticket, come see Peter Pardini. And the other announcement I have is that we do still have some sweepstakes tickets. So if folks are interested, you can definitely see one of us. Hope to see you all at the banquet, definitely at the Attitude Adjustment Hour. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.